Hello there! This show contains material which a truly free society would neither fear nor suppress. The language and concepts contained herein will not cause eternal torment in the place where the guy with the horns and pointed stick conducts his business.
Hello all, and welcome to another episode of Bloodthirsty Vegetarians. This is Rich Wilgus, and we're coming to you live on digital media from Bloodthirsty Vegetarian Studio C. We're not in the normal Fairfield Glassworks and Tape Dispensary today, and for the super astute among you, you will notice that I am panned dead center, which for the moment means I'm alone. A couple of John's kids got sick, and he had a really, really busy weekend, so we decided to not do a show. And then I remembered that we had recorded a terribly long show a month or two ago, and I chopped a 15-minute segment out about the TV show Rome, the HBO series, so we'll be talking about that a little later. I'm going to cut that right in, and nobody's going to know. Of course, you'll hear me on the left and John on the right as usual, and I don't mean that in a political sense. Let's see, what's going on? John's a little bummed because his Yankees lost to the Detroit Tigers. So John's in a slight state of mourning right now. Well, what are you going to do? We'll get him next year. My Mets managed to sweep the Los Angeles Dodgers, which is pretty impressive considering they have virtually no pitching right now. So we'll have to see how their series goes against the next team, which that contest has yet to be decided who they're going to play anyway. So anyway, I just thought I'd jump right into a quick tune here, and then we'll get to that segment in a little right after that. But the Bloodthirsty Vegetarians are going to get all countrified on you today. We got a little bluegrass tune right now. This one's called More Dollars Than Cents by The Badly Bent. So let's check it out.
I've known your town for lots of years. Friends that you have known have cried lots of tears. You'll never know just when to quit. Your wallet's a bit too thick. You've got way more dollars than you have cents. You think that money rules. Just live your life like you have none. Your cents will come back to you. Your cents will come back to you. Your cash so foolishly, you think that you own your friends. Your friends can see right through your veil. You will lose them in the end. You got way more dollars than you have cents. You think that money rules. Just live your life like you have none. Your cents will come back to you. Your cents will come back to you. Flashing round all them Texas tents, don't tell what you might spend. Your life's as short as anyone's. You got way more dollars than cents. You got way more dollars than you have cents. You think that money rules. Just live your life like you have none. Your cents will come back to you. Your cents will come back to you. You think that money rules. Just live your life like you have none. Your cents will come back to you. Your cents will come back to you.
Yeah, it's a really nice track. We've played them a couple times before, and hopefully we'll be able to get some more tunage from them to play in the future. One of the gentlemen who's in that band owns a music store in Colorado, and I speak to him every once in a while, and he was kind enough to send me that CD. So that's cool. Hopefully we'll have some more. So anyway, I was talking a little bit before in our intro about the Rome segment that John and I had taped once upon a time, but the show got a little long, so I actually chopped it out of the show just because that show would have been like over an hour, and we didn't want to torment our listeners too much. So if any of you have seen it, the show Rome on HBO is fantastic, and John and I had a little discussion about it, so let's present you with that. So check this out, our discussion about the HBO series Rome.
I also kind of wanted to touch on that series on HBO. No, not the one with the Italians.
Yes, it is.
Well,
it's
I guess it's filled with
Italians.
Kind of, but not the guys with gold chains.
It's the other Italians.
Leather jackets. Yeah, it's the other Italians. It's not the mobsters. It's a series on HBO called
Rome. It's the original mobsters. Who are you kidding?
That's true. You know, the original... it's a series called Rome, and I've actually only seen the first five episodes. Have you seen them all?
I saw them all.
And I'm sort of interested in that period of world history, and the Roman Empire sort of always intrigued me. I kind of jokingly say this, but if you can get past the slavery and the conquest, they were really a fascinating culture. And I mean, any culture is fascinating on itself. I mean, just any culture that's different is worth looking at and understanding. And certainly the Romans and the level of technology and just the everything that they had, I mean, from the arts right through their technology. Pretty remarkable.
I mean, back then, I mean, you have to look at it in context. You can't just look at it from our perspective as, quote-unquote, modern society and say...
Civilized.
Yeah, that whole slavery thing was bad. Back then, that was just the way of life. And in fact, when countries, regions, entire continents were conquered, the people became slaves. And that's the way it was. And in fact, the slavery is not the way that we think of it as being whipped constantly, going out doing hard labor. They became property. They became assistants. They became, what do I want to call it, advisors. I mean, you even see Caesar having a slave who's a trusted advisor, who's by him, by his side, always giving him advice in the most difficult times. This is not just a guy to get his water for him.
Right. And Americans have, when we say the word slavery, Americans have a very Americanized centric version of slavery. You know, slavery for the Americas in the 16th and 1700s and 1800s was Africans.
Right.
Enslaved Africans. And of course, the Romans just enslaved the people that they conquered.
Right.
So they had slaves of all races. It wasn't really a racist kind of thing. It was a slavery kind of thing. And just in the Gallic Wars alone, when Caesar conquered Gaul, he enslaved 1 million people. I mean, that's incredible. That's just gigantic if you think about those numbers. And everyday people own slaves. But I kind of didn't want to get it. I actually was hoping they would explore the politics and the economics of slavery a little more. I don't know. I've only seen five of the episodes in what? There's like 12 or 13 in the first season.
Yeah, I can't remember how many there are. But they do touch upon some issues of slavery and how they are... in some cases abused because, you know, they are property and it's not that they're physically abused, they're showing physical abuse, but they do show how they're just treated as property and sometimes neglected.
Well, and they are physically abused. I mean, there was a scene, there was a scene when Caesar was entering Italy again and which with an army, which was illegal. The Roman army was never supposed to set foot in Rome, at least not in uniform. And Atia was really upset because she was going to have to, she at first she feared she was going to have to leave Rome, and she was just whipping a slave because she was upset, you know.
Well,
and he said something like, "Are you done with me now, madam?" You know,
right? But this is not the norm. I mean, well, I don't know what the real norm was.
It was good to be a slave in the Roman Empire.
Well, I'm saying it's not as bad as what we have a picture of being a slave is. I think that being a slave is there's a certain status to it. I'd say that you're low on the totem pole. But it doesn't necessarily mean that you're just doing menial labor. I mean,
no, you're not doing menial labor. Like you said, you might be an advisor or slaves or even doctors. Doctors, as I understand it, were not a high social class. I mean, not that being a doctor is a social class, but, you know, we sort of look upon doctors as being special in mm-hmm. our culture. Mm-hmm. Doctors, for example, were not special in that culture. They would train slaves to be doctors.
Yeah. And you'll see even what they saw as, I guess, middle class families. They would have maybe
the plebeians,
right? They would have maybe one or two slaves themselves, and the women would cook together. There would be a slave cooking mm-hmm. right next to the matron of the family.
I got to interrupt you, John. I just saw some pigeons flying, and they say the gods say you're lying.
Well, we must kill them and bleed them.
Do you remember that? The augurs, they would look at the way birds flew and decide if the gods are... In one of the episodes...
I wasn't there.
Oh, see, I was hoping this would be like a zinger for you.
No, I don't... See, I watched this a while ago when they originally aired, so I don't remember
but
all of this.
Apparently, you could go to this group of people in Rome called the augurs, and the augurs could determine the will of the gods by watching birds eat and fly. So if you wanted to know if your behavior was acceptable to whatever god you were concerned about your behavior being acceptable to, you would go to the augurs and ask them. And you probably had to have some social status to do that.
Well,
I suspect the proletariat couldn't do it, but maybe the higher, what were they, the patricians. The patricians were the high class in Rome society. Or a politician, a senator, for example.
Right.
You know, he could go to the augurs and say, I need to know if this new bill I've instituted of, you know, whatever, is cool with the gods. And the augurs would cast pigeons into the sky and watch them fly, and it would be decided based on that whether or not the gods were happy with you. And I'm just wondering how that's different from religion now.
So. Not unlike tea leaves, not unlike feeling the bowels of a disemboweled creature.
Well, they would do that too, actually.
Yep.
They actually showed that in one of the early episodes. And the augurs were also not immune to bribes. You know, Julius Caesar... It was really, really forbidden to enter Rome with an army. The army was just not allowed in Rome. They wintered and stayed outside of Rome, mm-hmm. always, because they were always conquering somebody, right?
They had to.
So Caesar, of course, entered Rome with the army, and he wanted to prove to the general populace that his actions were acceptable to the gods, so he paid off the augurs in the film, in this miniseries. And I also suspect that happened in real life too, because this series, Rome, from HBO, is not unlike, and I'm going to say this, but it has nothing to do with this, it's not unlike the film Titanic. The greater truth is real. The greater history of what's going on, mm-hmm. the rise and fall of Caesar, is basically historically correct. But then they're filling in the details with little fictions of characters that some are real and some are not real. And just like Titanic, the ship sunk. But, you know, there were people who did exist that we saw and people in that film who probably were fictionalized.
Right. And there are a lot of characters that are followed that are absolutely true characters. But, of course, the conversations, we have no idea what's going on. And the great characters in this and the relationships are definitely accurate. I'm not sure how much was written about the two Roman soldiers that were following.
We're sort of seeing Rome, the series, through two, not just these two, but we're seeing it through several classes, but two soldiers' eyes, a guy named Titus Pullo and Lucius...
Varinus.
I want to say Avrinus, but it's Varinus. Yeah.
And Pullo is like a thug.
He's the lowest soldier level. He's a... what do they call him? He's a...
I can't remember what he is, but he's basically a brute. I mean, he's...
The brute squad! Are the brute squad!
He's been on the front lines, and that's what you see, I think, in the very first episode. You see him on the front lines being really brutish and pretty much balls to the wall. Can I say that?
I don't know.
And
the other guy is a centurion,
yeah.
Which is sort of like a sergeant or something,
yep.
Sort of a middling rank. He has some authority. He's not just a grunt, if you will, a common foot soldier, which Pullo was.
Yeah, and he's
legionnaire. Pullo was a legionnaire.
And he's very respected. Varinus is very respected. I think all of the legions, they pretty much respect him as one of the straight-up guys.
Well, he had a special rank in addition to... I don't want to go into that, but there's these special subtitles on the... I've been watching them on the DVDs, and there's these special subtitles which put up subtitles that sort of clue you in about Roman history and special things that if you're just watching the show on HBO, you don't get to see. And they mentioned that... God, what was his rank? Varinus had a special rank. He was, I don't even remember what it was, but it was a highly regarded rank within the context of a Roman legion, you know, mm-hmm. sort of master sergeant or something like
sure.
that. And he was an excellent fighter and all of those things that go along with it.
Yeah, and I think that from what I've read about this as well is that these two characters, these two real human beings that lived, were the only two people named by Caesar in any of the writings in history, two soldiers that mm-hmm. is. So these are real people that Caesar wrote about himself, and that's why these guys are playing prominently in the series.
Yeah, and as I understand it, Varinus is a plebe. He's a plebeian. He's a sort of right. middle class. And I would imagine that, despite the fact that he's sort of a brutish legionnaire, I suspect that Pullo is also a plebe, because the proletari were really the gritty, dirty, sort of, you know, scummy, really, you know, really the lowest class of them all.
Yep, yep.
And we also see this miniseries through the eyes of some of the patricians as well, and there's a female character named Atia.
Yep.
A widower, I believe, who or a widow, I should say, and well, you know, she gets around.
Yeah, she's trying to play everyone in this, both sides,
In so doing, sleeps with everyone as well.
Yeah, and you get across most of the big name Roman heroes, like you've got Brutus, who's a big hero,
Mark Antony.
Rich hasn't seen this yet, but you're also going to see. What's her name? The Cleopatra.
Cleopatra.
That Egyptian witch.
Queen of the Nile.
Queen of the Nile.
Yeah. Well, the Roman Empire extended very far. And that's actually something else I like about the series. The theme music for the series is actually very Arabic. And, mm-hmm. of course, the Roman Empire extended so far at the time that there would have been all of these influences, and they talked about that. In fact, for example, when... Not Pullo, when the other guy, Lucius Varinus, wanted to sort of retire from the army. He wanted to become a businessman, and ultimately his sort of business venture failed, and he became a kind of a thug for another businessman, and the people that they went to visit to collect the debt on were Indian, as in from the country of India, because right. the Silk Road extended pretty far back then, and so the Roman culture was really very, very multicultural in the city of Rome itself.
Right, and not that this was played in this series itself, but even in the movie Gladiator, they touch upon that well, because the main character, the Gladiator, was a Spaniard.
He was a Spaniard, yeah. And his friend was African or something.
Yeah, Ethiopian maybe.
Yeah, probably from Northern Africa, you know, because you could get to Northern Africa from Spain quite easily.
Yep.
And the Roman Empire did, of course, extend it into Spain. And the thing that, for me, really makes the series, I find it very gripping. I will use the word gripping. But what makes the series for me is the fact that it's done on HBO, because, you know, you can't do this on, you know, Family Channel. You just can't. The excess and gluttony and perversion of the Roman Empire can only be shown properly on a station like HBO, where you can be a little obscene, for lack of a better word. You know what I mean?
Well, a lot of the everyday occurrences were some things that we would consider obscene today. So it's what they're trying to do is be fairly true to how things were. Dirty,
yeah, and
grimy,
I want to see that.
Yeah.
I absolutely want to see that. I want to know what it's like. I'm absolutely fascinated by that culture, and I absolutely want to see what it would have been like, you know, to be a fly on the wall in the room when something was going on, when something else was going on, and mm-hmm. we're kind of getting to see that, and this is a really wonderful series, and unfortunately, I went there today, actually, to rent the CD Volume 3, DVD 3, which is episodes 6 through 9, I think, and was not there.
Well, it's great, because I think in episode 12 or 13 is when Pullo gets the car that can speak, and then he fights crime.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that the episode that's actually entitled Utica?
Utica. Yes, there is one that's titled
There is
Utica,
an episode yeah. entitled Utica. That's sort of the town John and I were kind of born in. We're about an hour from there right now, though.
Our Titus and Varinus, they get in this car that's got like this cross painted on the top of it. It's an orange car. And they jump over rivers constantly while the Carthaginians are chasing after them.
Well, you know
chariots.
What it is. They're just some good old boys.
Well, you know, never doing no harm.
Exactly. And these characters are absolutely likable, and as good a fighter, for example, as Lucius Varinus is, he's very naive in the ways of women. So he goes
right?
to Pullo at one point for some like womanly advice, and it's actually kind of funny.
Yeah.
You know, it's actually kind of funny because he has a bit of a strange relationship with his wife. Well, actually, it was probably a very common relationship with his wife, because
right.
what I've learned about the Roman Empire was it is generally regarded in Roman history that any man, the most trusting relationship a man has with his woman in that era was with his mother. Women were sort of second-class citizens. Men had all the power, not unlike today. And, for example, men could... The concept of adultery within the what am I trying to say?
I don't know.
Adultery for men could only be committed if they had sexual relations with a married woman. I'm talking about if they're married. If they're mm-hmm. in a marriage right now, it's only considered adultery if they have sex with another married woman. If they have sex with a prostitute or a single woman, it's not adultery. If a woman were to do something like that, it would automatically be considered adultery, and the husband would have the right to kill her and her children.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was a very male-dominated culture, God bless them. I'm just kidding. No,
yeah,
just a joke.
And the relationship you're talking about that was very common was these guys were out fighting and killing and conquering for several years. I mean, this isn't like...
In the talking car.
It isn't like today, right, in the talking car. It isn't like today where you're in like a C-130 transport, you get dropped off, you go kill a few hundred people, get back on the transport, and you're home for dinner. I mean...
Yeah, exactly. These guys... In fact, Lucius was away for 7 years or something like
right.
that when he came home to find his wife with a child he didn't recognize in her arms.
I know. His children were already grown. I mean, it was...
In... They claimed crazy. That it was the child of – it would be his grandchild.
Right.
But I'm not certain that's entirely true, and you got to rent the series to see it. But anyway, definitely check it out. It's gripping, as I said before, and I can't wait to rent the next DVD.
It's must-see TV.
It really is. It really is. If you're interested at all in history and some good drama, this is really good stuff. I mean, it's right on the money. I mean, they're getting so much of the history right. Absolutely. They have some great advisors as far as the history goes. And occasionally they talk in Latin, and they seem to be getting it all right.
And I'm just glad that's not in Smell-O-Vision.
Actually, it might be interesting to see that in Smell-O-Vision. So
I'd probably throw up several times.
Yeah, but, you know, that might be worth the experience.
Maybe not.
And there you have it, our discussion about the HBO TV series Rome. Hope you enjoyed that. I'm back here in Bloodthirsty Vegetarian's Studio C to bring you another tune. And once again, we're going to get all countrified on you. We've played these guys before, a little band called the Asylum Street Spankers, and this tune is called Wingless Angels. Let's check it out.
I lost my virginity while the preacher was downstairs chatting with my mom, and I wasted my youth on a girl named Ruth, and it don't make no difference to me. Now all you wingless angels, get in line, take a stab at me, 'cause I'm rolling down the last six pack, and 2 a.m. brings finality. I was born in New York City and beat up down in San Antone, and I wasted my time smoking agriculture in the back of my buddy's old Firebird. Now all you wingless angels, start clocking yourselves with the June bug of the times, 'cause I'm staggering in to your pit stop, and I'm lined up down at your favorite bar, crippled at the South Bank. I fulfilled the prophecy, but baptized in the waters of the broken spoke, when a yodeler named Walzer pierced my soul. Now all you wingless angels, stop tramping around my back door, 'cause I'm drowning in a bushmill's dream, and I got a hot date with the Holy Ghost. tag. 30 pieces of silver hung on his hat. But that devil in your smile is so divine. I'll be Judas and pass out for 29. Now all you wingless angels, sanctify my ability to recognize, 'cause I'm drunk off my ass in Omaha, and I'm sleeping on the bus with a busted wing. Yeah, I'm passed out on the bus with a busted wing.
So I wanted to talk briefly about a film that I saw at Munson Williams Proctor Arts Institute on Friday night, a film called Half Nelson, directed by Ryan Fleck. It's a 2006 film, rated R. It's 106 minutes, and this is a nice piece of work. I saw this reviewed a few months ago on Ebert and Roper, or whatever that show is called, and I was hoping that Munson would get it, and to my fortune, they did. And this film is a film about, well, it's about many things, many, many things going on, a lot of complex issues going on, but it's the primary character is a character named Dan Dunn, played by Ryan Gosling. And he's a history teacher at a junior high school, and he ends up befriending one of his students, I would say junior high school. And her name was Dre, and she's played by Sharika Epps, and they both have really wonderful performances in the film. And not only is he her history teacher, he also coaches the junior high school girls' basketball team. So he has quite a bit of time in which he's spending with this Dre character. What we learn as the film goes on is that the Dan Dunn character, played by Ryan Gosling, he's a drug addict. He's into cocaine. He's into crack cocaine. And he kind of starts his spiral down at one point in the film when after either it was some sort of like junior prom or some sort of dance event, he finds himself in the girls' bathroom and he's smoking crack in one of the stalls, and he gets a little incapacitated and can't get up, and she walks in, the student, Dre, walks in and sees him there. He's a bit of an unconventional teacher. He doesn't really teach by the book. The junior high school principal is constantly on him about following the written curriculum, and he just doesn't want to do that. He wants to teach history through showing examples of contrast, differences, and juxtaposition. And that actually becomes one of the themes of the film, because another one of Dre's friends in the film is a neighborhood drug dealer, but he's a pretty suave guy. He's got a nice car, so he kind of befriends Dre and kind of enlists her to deliver drugs for him. Like, he'll drive around and she'll go to the house and drop the candy off, as it were, and pick up the money. And what's interesting is that these two characters, the Dan Dunn character and the drug dealer character, whose name I don't recall at the moment in the film, they're kind of a little jealous of each other because they each know the other is spending time with the Dre character. And you'll find Dan Dunn saying, you know, you shouldn't be hanging around with that guy. He's a bad influence. He's a drug dealer. And, you know, of course, Dan Dunn is a drug addict. And then when she's with the drug dealer, you find the drug dealer saying things like, well, your relationship with that teacher is inappropriate. Well, geez, you've enlisted her to deliver drugs for you. So there's a lot of very complex issues going on in the film, in addition to relationships that Dan Dunn is attempting to have with women, and they end up failing because of his addictions. And we don't really know what happens. The tone at the end of the film is that he's kind of reached rock bottom, and hopefully the Dan Dunn character will start climbing his way back up, because he seems like he's a great teacher and he has a lot to offer the students because he really cares. He just needs to beat this addiction. And that's kind of where I think the film name comes from. It's called Half Nelson. And, you know, Half Nelson is probably, maybe the thinking was a Half Nelson is more escapable than a Full Nelson, you know. if you have an addiction, it doesn't have to completely engulf you and ruin your life. You know, there are ways to get help and to climb out of that. So I kind of think that was the theme of the film and where it was going. I definitely recommend it. This definitely is something you guys should see. I thought it was fantastic. So check it out. It's a film called Half Nelson, 106 minutes, rated R. It's a 2006 film directed by Ryan Fleck. So there you go. Looks like we got another show going on here. Hopefully next week, Jen and I will be back together in the same room and have some fun, drink some wine, and do all that kind of stuff and torture you a little more. And by then, we'll know a little bit more about where the baseball playoffs are going, too. So anyway, we're out of here. We'll see you guys next week. This is Rich Wilgus. Check us out on the web, www.bloodyveg.com. Send us email to feedback@bloodyveg.com. Check out our forum, our online discussion forum. You can yell at us. You can yell at a lot of our other listeners, or at least one of them. And that's www.bloodyveg.com/forum. So anyway, we'll see you on the rebound. Take it easy. Thank you.